भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
This afternoon we're going to read some verses from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 4 entitled Transcendental Knowledge, text numbers 16 through 20, 16 through 20.
Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopyatr mohitaha tate karma pravakshami yagyadva mokshase shuvat.
Translation.
Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accord with the example of previous bona fide devotees. This is recommended in the 15th verse. Why such action should not be independent will be explained in the text to follow. To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in a line of disciplic succession as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first narrated to the sun god. The sun god explained it to his son Manu. Manu explained it to his son Ikshaku. And the system is current on this earth from that very remote time. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard actions of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered. It is said that one cannot ascertain the ways of religion simply by imperfect experimental knowledge. Actually, the principles of religion can only be laid down by the Lord Himself. As is stated in the Bhagavatam 6.3.19, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. No one can manufacture a religious principle by imperfect speculation. One must follow in the footsteps of great authorities like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Manu, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlad, Bhishma, Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj, Janaka, and Bali Maharaj. By mental speculation, one cannot ascertain what is religion or self-realization. Therefore, out of causeless mercy to his devotees, the Lord explains directly to Arjuna what action is and what inaction is. Only action performed in Krishna consciousness can deliver a person from the entanglement of material existence. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. How many of our guests this evening are here for the first time? Anybody? Yeah?
You too? No?
Okay, welcome. Thank you for coming. So, there are basically five things which are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows what those five things, five subject matters which are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows what they are except for those in saffron cloth.
Anybody has any idea? There are five subject matters which are discussed. Well, one of them is certainly Krishna, right? The Supreme. Huh? What?
Karma.
Very good, very good. Okay, that's two. How about jivas? Jiva soul is discussed. And kala, time. So that's four. Prakriti, material nature. So we've got Purusha, Jiva, Kala, Prakriti, and Karma. Now, four of those are described as eternal, and one is not eternal. So of the Purusha, the Jiva, Prakriti, material nature, Kala, time, and Karma, activity, which one is not eternal?
Prakriti.
Huh?
Material nature.
Material nature, yes, Prakriti. Any Karma. Any other answers? Karma, okay. The Karmavadis are correct. Material nature is eternal, but it is sometimes manifest, and it is sometimes unmanifest. Avyaktam vyaktimapanam. So sometimes it is wound up into the Mahatattva, and sometimes it is spun out again, like a spider spins out his web. So karma is explained here to be it's a very difficult subject matter. And it is important to try to understand what is karma, because the Bhagavad Gita is sometimes also called the art of all work, the art of doing work. How to work in this world and not become entangled. We work and we get some reaction. Sometimes that is a good reaction and sometimes it is a bad reaction. But in both cases, we become entangled. So here in this 16th verse, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that even an intelligent person, he sometimes gets bewildered in determining what is actually activity which will liberate him from the cycle of birth and death, and what is activity which will entangle him more and more in the cycle of birth and death. There's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, yatato hi api kaunteya purushasva vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham manaha. The vipaschita, or very learned man, who has, a learned person means someone who has power of discrimination. He can discriminate between matter and spirit. He can discriminate between temporary and eternal. He can discriminate between real and unreal. He can discriminate between what is in his self-interest and what is against his self-interest. He has the power to discriminate. Generally, animals and the other species of life do not have this ability to discriminate between right and wrong, for example. Cats and dogs, they run freely in the street and they don't worry about red lights or green lights or going the wrong way down a one-way street or anything like that. They have no concept of right and wrong or even morality for that matter, or ethics or whatever. They act simply according to their nature without making any discrimination. So Even an intelligent person, if he is caught up in his senses, if he is distracted, it takes a lot of concentration to understand what is happening to us in this material world. We're born and everything is brand new, and we're getting so many stimuli from various sources around us, and we're expected to learn on our own, because practically speaking, most people in the material world are relatively blind. They do pravritim cha, nivritim cha, janana vidurasura. They do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done in propriety. In other words, people do act according to what they've been taught by their parents or their relative experience. But deep in the minds of everyone, there is a fear that they might be doing the wrong thing. There is a certain kind of frustration that a little bit of introspection brings out. They don't know what is the right thing to do. People generally follow status quo, keeping up with the Joneses, but still they do not know what will happen at the time of death. They do not know what will happen after this life. They do not know where they have come from. They do not know why they have got the particular body they have got with the particular facility that they have. Why is someone born in Ethiopia? Why is someone born in Beverly Hills or in London or whatever? People, on the surface, we don't think about these things because they tend, not having the answer, it tends to disturb our sense gratification. But just in behind, in the subconscious, these questions are there and people are in doubt. So they do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And unless you actually are conscious, we're talking here about Krishna consciousness, but even we find people are not God conscious, and unfortunately they're hardly conscious. If they would just be conscious, that would really make the world a better place. But they're not even conscious, what to speak of being God conscious. Mostly we act like animals. Ahar nidra bhai maitunam cha dharmena hina pashu bisamanaha. Dharma means sakaran sraddha. It means rational, intelligent faith in God. It doesn't mean anda sraddha. It means rational, intelligent faith in God. So human life is especially valuable that we have the capacity to exercise our discrimination and to understand our relationship with God. But unfortunately, people don't exercise that option, but they dharmena hina, without such an attempt in the human form of life, pashu bi samanaha. They remain no better than pashu or animal. What are the activities of animals? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Well, you may say, we eat on a silver plate, and the animals are eating in the street, so surely we are better. Eating is eating, believe me. The dogs are not thinking, gosh, I wish I could have that bone on a silver plate. It would taste so much better. They're eating. Eating is eating. It's not that the pig is thinking, ah, if I could just have a Sealy posturpedic mattress, this sex life would be so much better. The business of sex is the business of sex is the business of sex. It's the same experience. No matter what body and what set of genitals you use, it's the same business.
and defending with claws or defending with nuclear weapons. Well, there's a little bit of difference there, but basically it's the same thing. We get ourselves into so much trouble being big animals. We're not small animals, that's true. We do things in a big way, but basically it's the same thing. Somebody showed me this film, Threads, the other day. How many of you have seen Threads? You haven't seen Threads yet. Ooh, I should have brought it.
Threads.
No, I said Threads. I don't know how to pronounce it. Threads. How many have seen Threads? Okay. It's this movie. It's the English version of A Day After. How many of you have seen A Day After? Okay, you don't know anything about nuclear war. It's the Threads is what happens to England if when 3,000 megatons of atomic bombs are dropped on the UK. America and Russia get into a fight in, of all places, who would expect it? Iran. And so it escalates and there's a nuclear war. And, whoa, what happens? It's incredible what actually happens. We're not prepared for it. I recommend you don't see Threads if you want to remain jolly in life. But the point is, defending is basically defending, whether it's an animal or a human being. So without some attempt to know yourself, without some attempt to understand, why must I die? I don't want to die. Why must I die? I don't want to have to spend so much money on makeup. Why do I get old? Why do I get diseased? Why? I don't want these things. Why are they forced upon me? If there's a new law that increases taxes 100%, everybody will protest. Why is this? Who has authorized this? What is this? But death is imposed on us. What can you do? You know, nobody protests. Nobody's demanding to know. Is there any research going on? Raise this in the House of Parliament. Why is there death? Why is there old age? We don't like it. We just make adjustments and go on as if that's going to solve the problem. So Krishna is explaining here to Arjuna that the answers are there in regards to the proper work that can liberate you, yajyatva mokshase shubhat. By knowing the answer to this question, you will get moksha or liberation. And Krishna's telling that dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat panitam. The real knower is God. He has created the material world. He is controlling the material world, Ishvara Parama Krishna, and he knows how we can get out of our entanglement. And not only that, he's not keeping the knowledge covered over. He's trying to disseminate it. He's trying to give us an opportunity to wake up and to do something about this condition that we're in. But we have to receive it from him. Because our tendency is that if you are in a room full of people at a party or something, and somebody tells someone a joke, and by the time it gets around to the other side of the room, it's totally changed, a totally different punchline and a totally different story or whatever. We have this ability to pervert everything. Partially due to the fact that it's Kali Yuga and we have Kali Yuga memories, and partially due to our own desire to add our two cents worth. We can't just leave. There's a saying in America, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, we've got to take self-realization and we've got to add our own philosophy. There's a famous Indian commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada. It's classic, so I'll mention this one. There are so many. But he takes a particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, surrender to me. Now, 5,000 years ago, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, the Dharmakshetra, it's a place of pilgrimage. It's known as Kurukshetra. You can still go there today. It's not far from Delhi. You can still go to the place. It was there 5,000 years ago. So Krishna is telling Arjuna on that place, Arjuna, I am aham sarvasya prabhavo, mata sarvam pravartate. I am the supreme. He doesn't say I'm the son of the supreme. He doesn't say I'm this or I'm that. He says, Arjuna, I'm the source of everything. Everything manifests from me, like pearls on a thread. Everything is resting on me. So this person, because he is not coming in disciplic succession, because he's not taking the knowledge from the right source, he says, actually, if you think about it, the word Krishna in Sanskrit can mean, one of the meanings is black. So let's work with that. Krishna means black. So what does black mean? When you think of black, what do you think? What comes to mind? Dark. It's a dark color. So Krishna means black. Black means dark. So it's not to Krishna that you have to surrender to. Not the person Krishna. Actually, there never was any person like Krishna. What Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita, or what's being said in the Bhagavad Gita is that we have to surrender to the deep, dark, unknown within all of us. It's just pure speculation. When something is very direct, you don't have to look for an indirect meaning. If I want a glass of water, and, you know, I say, Paramananda, bring me a glass of water. He knows. He'll go out and bring me a glass. He doesn't have to think, you know, Maharaj would probably like a strawberry milkshake. And if I had a little butterscotch, you know. He doesn't have to do that. I ask for water. It's just take a little glass of water. And it's very simple. There's no indirect meaning hidden in there. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, surrender to me. And that's all we have to do is surrender to the person Krishna. But by mental speculation, one cannot ascertain what is religion or what is self-realization. One has to receive it through disciplic succession. And that is the only way we're going to understand what is karma. What is the right work? Karmano yapi bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmana akarmanas cha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know perfectly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So there are three kinds of activities mentioned here. Karma, the general word karma, everybody's heard of karma, it's in the English dictionary. It's become cliche. But the original Sanskrit word karma means work, and more specifically, it means work according to injunctions given in the scripture. For example, if one wants a particular fruit from some work, the Vedas give a description how you can get the fruit, how you can get the result, whatever it is. If you want to have a big house, then you work in this way. If you want good health, then you work in another particular way. If you want, there's so many prescriptions given. It's almost like a big candy store where you can get whatever you want. The Vedas, it's called Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So that's called karma, and it means work according to scripture. No speculation, no invention, concoction. It's authorized. Karma work is authorized. Then there's vikarma, or prohibitive action. The prohibitive action means that there will be a negative reaction because you're acting out of harmony with the laws of God. You're directly going against the will of the Lord, or this vikarma would be what you call sin, sinful activity, eating sinful food such as animal flesh, violence, food that is gained by unnecessary violence, illicit sex, means outside of marriage, or intoxication. We're already intoxicated enough by the phantasmagoria. We're already spaced out and stoned as it is. We do not need to get more intoxicated. Virtually self-realization will be impossible for someone who is taking alcohol or drugs or any other kind of intoxication. He will just be too distracted. He won't be able to focus his mind. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurananta. Those who are successful in human life, those who get the highest benefit, those who achieve eternal life, they have a strong mind. They have a strong intelligence. They're resolute in their purpose. Their aim is one. They know what they want and they go for it. And practically that's true about anything. If you want to be a big businessman, you have to focus. I am going to be the biggest businessman in London. If you want to win the Formula One Grand Prix, Mark was listening to that on the way down here. Anyway, you've got to fix your mind on doing that. You got to think to yourself, I am going to beat Billy Schumacher, and I'm going to beat him. And you got to focus on it. And every day you wake up to, you know, Formula One racing. And every night you go to sleep thinking, you know, you dream about it. And then one day you become the world champion. And spiritual life is something like that. At least you have to make spiritual life your primary focus. You may have many other agenda. You may want to have a family. You may want to have a good job. You may want to play some sport or something. But your primary focus should be Ante Narayana Smritihi. At the end of my life, I'm going to fix my mind on God and I will go to the Supreme Personality of God. I'll go to the spiritual world. I'll cut through all karmic reaction. So someone who is engaged in vikarma or prohibitive activities, he doesn't get that focus because his mind is splattered all over the universe. He's just, where is sense gratification? Like a dog, you know, their noses. Everywhere. Looking everywhere, sniffing. Where is some sense gratification? So a materialistic man, that's his focus. Everywhere, his eyes, sankalpa and vikalpa. Accepting in the mind, is it enjoyable? Rejecting. Sankalpa, vikalpa, sankalpa. Everywhere he looks, he just sees an opportunity for the tongue, the belly, and the genital. And his life revolves around that. He can't help it. It's ingrained. It's second nature. It may not even be that he's conscious of it. But it's part of his sanskar. It's part of his life. It's so prevalent everywhere. It's just taken as natural. All American, blue-blooded, hedonist. You know, you're natural. And it, of course, it's getting worse and worse and worse because as time changes, we're getting deeper and deeper into unrestricted sense gratification, and we're losing sight of the real goal of human life, and we're becoming more and more like animals. And the more we get entangled, moha jal, just like a fish caught in a net, the more he gets his gills caught in the seiner's net, the more he struggles, the more he's entangled. The net is designed in that way. And material energy is like that. It's the more you get entangled, the more it's difficult to see the way out. So, akarma means activity that has no reaction, either good or bad. Now, by performing karma or activities according to the Vedas, there is some good reaction, some good fruit. If you help little old ladies across the street, then, you know, hey, that's good. You know, you get some good reaction for that. I don't know what, but... Or if you engage in sinful activities, you know, we saw a gentleman on the way here, and I didn't laugh at him, but I sure wouldn't want to have been in his body. I mean, he had trouble walking down the road. I mean, you know, he was deformed. And all I could think of, I didn't even think the poor man. I thought, how did he get in that body? There, but by the grace of God, go I. When I see people in Ethiopia, and you know they show the videos, and you see these kids, and you know you give 10 pence or 50 pence or a couple of pounds, and you fly British Air, and you give a change for change for a change, or something, I don't know. But, you know, why them? How did that happen to them? Why did that spirit soul get put in that situation so that practically every moment of his life he's fearing that he may be slaughtered, he may starve to death, he may get some hellish disease, and if he's got a life expectancy. One lady was telling me in New York about kids in Harlem. Harlem. Everybody heard of Harlem, New York City? One of the bright spots of New York. Kids there, they live in constant fear because there's so much violence, there's so much family abuse and violence. And one of our devotees, she's a psychologist in the New York educational system, and somebody was killed in a school, a student shot a teacher, you know. And so she was called there to calm down the students. So she, you know, she didn't know how to handle it, and she went in, and she asked all the children, "Now, children, I want you to all be calm. How many of you have had experience of death before?" Of course, every hand in the class went up. "Well, how many of you have had experience in your family?" As it turned out, every kid in that classroom within the last 2 months had a relative or a friend or someone they knew that had been murdered or killed in some local violence. And she told me that a lot of the kids, they inject themselves with AIDS because they figure that at least if I have AIDS, I may live 10, 15 years and I'll get welfare, get a fat welfare check every month. But if I just live in Harlem and I'm brought up in Harlem, there's no guarantee I'm going to live even 10 or 15 years. I'll be killed by the violence and I don't get a welfare check. That's how desperate things get. And I think, why? You know, they're from New York, I'm living in New York, now why are they in that condition? That's due to sinful reaction. Something they have done in their past life, there's brought a reaction. So in this life, they're now suffering. So one may think, oh, I get it. The goal is to do good activity. Yeah, get good karma. Maybe I'll get born in Hollywood, or maybe I'll be born in the royal family. Hey, you know, I'll do some good karma. But unfortunately, that's not the solution either, because you get a bad reaction or a good reaction. Supposing you do some charity. You think, I'll do some charity to the poor, and I'll get some good reaction for that. That's true, you'll get some good reaction, but if the person doesn't repay you, you give a beggar or a drunk, you give some money, he's, you know, suffering, wants a meal or a drink or whatever, I don't know. You give him some money, and he's a debtor now, he's a rinni. He owes you, he has to repay you. And that person, if he doesn't repay you in this lifetime, then that person has to take birth again. If they don't repay you, because they're a debtor, they didn't repay their debt. They have to take birth again. And guess what? You have to take birth again too, to accept repayment. That's the law of action and reaction. That's the law of karma. It's very intricate. So good and bad action, no, akarma, that is activity where you offer the fruit to God. That type of activity where you work is called nishkam karma. Working without a desire, no kama, no desire for the fruit. You offer the fruit to Krishna, whether it's a good reaction or a bad reaction, a good result or a bad result, whatever it is, you do your duty as a devotee of the Lord and offer the fruit to Him. So Krishna is telling Arjuna here that one should know these three kinds of activities and should be able to discriminate. That's how you cut yourself free. That's how you'll be able to live in the world but not of the world. You'll be able to do what you need to do to fulfill your material desires in a regulated way, and you won't get entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Your mind will be free, and you'll be able to remember God at the time of death, because you're already free. Death is just another experience for you. Karmanya karma ya pasyed akarmani cha karma ya sa buddhiman manusheshu sa yukta krishna karma krit. One who sees in... Listen to this one. Careful here. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction. You catch that? One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men. And it's not just that he can pick up on tongue twisters. There's more to it than that. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. That's the basic idea I was discussing. One learns how to engage in akarma. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonal ceases fruitive activities out of fear so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Lord and therefore engages himself in the activities of Christian conscience. So someone who does not know that you can act in the world and not get a reaction, someone who does not know how to offer the fruits to God, especially the followers of Sripad Shankaracharya, otherwise known as Mayavadis, or impersonalist philosophers, they're very much afraid. In the second chapter, Lord Krishna says that yehi sansparsa jaboga, sansparsa, the touch of the senses with the objects. There's five senses: the tongue, the eyes, the nose, the ears, and the tactile sense. Five senses. These are called knowledge acquiring senses. And then there are the objects of the senses. They are form, taste, smell, sound, and
touch.
Thank you. And these are the objects of the senses. So the senses are engaged with the sense objects. And there's a chemistry there. It's happening automatically. You are a passenger. Just understand this. You always thought you were in charge, right? I am the doer, kartaham. I am the karta. Well, Lord Krishna says, prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. that material nature is being carried on by the modes of nature, by the currents. Just like in a river, everything moves towards the shore or out to the middle or downstream because of the current. It's not that you throw a piece of wood in the river and the wood decides, oh, I think I'll go over to the left side, or I think I'll go downstream now. The wood goes where it's told to go by the current. It's led this way and that way. So in the same way, your body is actually being tossed this way and that way throughout your different material lives in the material world. So Krishna says this, prakriti, prakriti, material nature, kriyamanani, gunai karmani, that guna by the modes, everything is done. Ahankara, only because of false ego. Ego means that I am something. And false ego means when I think I am the body. That is false ego. I am not the body. It is a false and illusory conception that I am the body. I am the individual spark, spiritual spark, which is situated in the area of the heart, which is a passenger, yantra rudani mayaya. It is a passenger on this car made of material energy. So, ahankara vimudatma, the very foolish person thinks, kartaham iti manyate, that I am the doer. No, you're not the doer. If you were the doer, then you would arrange things in a better way. When you would get a toothache, you would stop it, but you can't. When you would get a disease, you would change it, but you can't. You are not the doer. Things are being done to your body. You are simply the witness, the experiencing person. So, the Mayavadi, the impersonalist, he sees that this contact of the senses with the sense objects is the dukkha yonaya. It's the source of dukkha or suffering. Because we're acting in the world, we're getting reactions and we're suffering. Good or bad, but we're suffering. We're getting frustrated. We're unhappy. Therefore, he goes to a secluded place. He finds a cave in the Himalayas. He's afraid to be in the society because he knows that he may get entangled. And he doesn't want that. He wants his own liberation. He's an impersonalist. He doesn't care for others. He's very selfish. He wants to be liberated only for himself. And he sees this. He goes to a secluded place. Someone who says he's practicing meditation and living in the city, bogus. It is not meditation, it is imitation. It is not meditation, it is imitation. According to the scripture, someone who practices that kind of Ashtanga yoga, he goes to a secluded place. But the devotee of the Lord, he knows the utility of material energy. He's not afraid of it. Durdan tendriya kala sarpa. He breaks the teeth of the snake. A snake with his teeth broken, even though the poison may be there, he's harmless. Because it's by the teeth that the poison is injected, and if the teeth are broken, there's no danger. So the devotee breaks the teeth of the senses. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam. He engages his senses in the service of the master of the senses. He engages his senses in serving God, so he becomes attached. The devotee becomes attached to Adhoksaja, to Krishna, who is transcendental to the material world. He's attached to that which is beyond birth and death, which is beyond time. He becomes attached to the Supreme Being, the Supreme Person. So action and inaction and knocking on wood. Okay. So the 20th verse reads, we don't have time. So we'll stop there. According to the clock, there are 5 long minutes left. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. Loudly, please.
Bhagavad Gita says, Jagastha Guru Karmani, Echatra Bhaslaka Bhutna Asti, Asti, Kim Karma.
Yes.
What is karma? Then on the third, Krishna answers, Bhuto Bhava, Udhu Bhava, Karo, Jargo, Karma, Sangeeta. And the ninth chapter of Vaishnava says, Pashyame Jagam Krishyata, Mama Akta, Bhuto Bhava. What is karma? Bhuto Bhava, Udhu Bhava, Karo, Jargo, Karma, Sangeeta. Is it Krishna himself doing that karma? Pashyame Jagam Krishyata, Mama Akta, Bhuto Bhava.
Yes, Krishna is the ultimate doer in everything. But you, Krishna sanctions, he is anumanta upadrashtamcha. He is the overseer and the permitter. But it is by your desire. You cannot do anything, but by your icha, everything is being done. Krishna, yeyata mam prapadyante tangstataiva bhajami aham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. All men follow my path in all respects.
But what is bhuto bhavana?
What do you think?
I don't know.
To engage in his service. That is our constitutional position. And as long as we are engaged in our constitutional position, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochatina Kankshati, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Lavate Param. We are freed from the misery of material existence. But if we refuse to act according to Krishna's desire, then we are given independence. Yatechasi Yatakuru. Now, Arjuna, you do as you like. And there's no question of becoming Brahma Bhuta or self-realized. One is, Krishna says, Naham Prakasa Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita. I cover them. Those who have no faith, Ashrada Dhanasya Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam, they can't achieve me, Mrityu Sansara Vartmini. They're put back down into the cycle of repeated birth and death. We choose. It is our choice. There are both options are open. Krishna is not punishing us for anything. There are only two things, going closer to Krishna and going farther away from Krishna. Otherwise, there's nothing right or wrong. It simply means getting closer to our constitutional position as an eternal servant of God or getting farther away. As you get farther away from the light in darkness, then you suffer. But you have the choice. Yes? Let's let him ask a question. You can ask afterwards. We have a session afterwards. Yes?
Why do we have that choice?
Why do we have that choice? Because that is part of Krishna's perfection. He gives you the choice to choose. If Krishna forced you, there would be no meaning to your independence. Then you wouldn't be a lover of Krishna, you'd be a slave of Krishna. Your wife loves you out of choice, not because you stick a dagger to her throat. Love means volition. So every living being, amazingly enough, there are the living beings, there are multifarious, unlimited numbers of living beings, all over the cosmos. And there are unlimited numbers of living beings in the spiritual world. We are a very small portion, although we think we're something big, but we're actually very small. We few, just like the prison house, of course they're getting larger day by day, but most of the citizens live outside the prison. Some choose to disobey the law, they have to live in the prison, that's all. They can get out also if they reform themselves. We can get out also if we attend RT and chant Hare Krishna.